Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 22 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, and we have a very special reader and interview today. Kelly Pigeon is a professional voice actor, musician, and the voice on the intro of this podcast. Check out his band, Boats Against the Current, on Spotify or iTunes. He reads The Trouble at Surfside Beach. This flash fiction piece may be triggering to some as it deals with the death penalty. The story was originally published by Piff Magazine in December of 2021. So put on your flip-flops, pack your gun, and let's head to the beach.
It was an impossible choice. Kill or be killed. The sweat on the man's brow, gun quivering in one hand. So I did it. With a lunge and direct aim at his throat, he went down. And now I'm here waiting for my day to die. I was hoping I was up for the task. I've had a lot of training, like how to fight, judging the dangerous situations. But I'd never been in a real-world situation before. One that wasn't a simulation or a test. My greatest fear was that I'd tuck tail and run. Would I manage to protect my partner? Fulfill my destiny? That day had been so bright. Who knew things would turn so dark so quickly? Morning walk along the beach, sun warming every hair on my body. Perfect as a day in any surfside beach. Texas can get dang hot, especially for a guy like myself, German descent. I prefer cooler weather, but my partner loves the heat. Heather's fair and slight of build, Nordic type, you know. No matter how close I curl up against her, she gets cold during the night. Well, we haven't been together that long, but she moved me right in. Carl, you stay on the couch. It didn't take me long to slide into her bed. Heather's like that, an easy touch. And I was very attached to her. We had our rituals already, like our daily walk. I love the feel of the sand on my toes, water splashing around my ankles. Heather was relaxing, skipping along beside me, a cry of delight when she saw some dolphins. Then I saw we weren't alone on the dark sand beach. Man didn't appear to be a threat from a distance. The haze of the steam coming up from the oil refineries giving him a fuzzy silhouette. Heather, I can't live without you. He shambled towards us. Dark shadow under his eyes, a thin white line of gritted teeth visible as he got closer. Dave, I have a restraining order against you. Stay back. Panic in her voice put me on high alert. My muscle tensed and I kept a close eye on this guy. At least I'd answered one question. I didn't feel like running. Yet. I was committed to protecting Heather. Dave stopped and raised both hands when he was 20 feet from us. His arms looked spider-like on his tall frame. A rank smell of sweat and dirty clothes tickled my nostrils. Carl, let me deal with... Heather put a soothing hand on me. I relaxed a little, relieved. What was the correct protocol with a desperate ex-boyfriend? I wanted to charge into the water toward the carefree dolphins, escape this tense situation. Heather, can we just talk? I was crazy before. I'm much better now. It won't happen again. I love you so much. You're the most beautiful, sweet woman. I want to deserve you. Dave took a few more hesitant steps towards us. His runners getting soaked in the surf. How can I trust you? Heather asked. There was a higher pitch to her words, making me wince. One more chance, I swear, you won't regret it. Dave let a winning smile crack his face and voice deeper and more reassuring. My whole body trembled. I hoped she wasn't going to trust him. I could smell the rank desperation. That lopsided grin wasn't fooling me. Let me think about it. I'll call you later today. I recognized the tone. It was the one when Heather used when talking about having ice cream at midnight. She knew it wasn't a great idea, but we'd do it anyway. I growled at her. What was she thinking? Okay, beautiful, I'll look forward to your call. Dave paused to pick up a shell from the beach. Heather and I walk back toward the car park, the town of Galveston shimmering in the distance. We normally went further down the coast, but I could tell she wanted to get off the beach. Dancing a little, I grabbed her hand. Relief making me giddy. Heather, can I at least have a hug? I really need one. Dave's shoes slapping towards us on the wet sand. Then he was on us, grabbing Heather in a bear hug. I jumped sideways into deeper water and cowered, my stomach wet with cold from fear and seawater. I watched, frozen in indecision. She seemed to be okay. Heather gave a little shriek and then returned the hug, her elegant fingernails patting the sweat-damp back of Dave's shirt. Hey, you got your hug, now let me go. I said I'd call you later. I promise I'll call you later. Just let me touch you a little longer. I've missed you so much. He tightened his grip, knuckles turning white. Heather looked for me over her shoulder, her pupils wide and black. Her smell changed, less like flowers and honey, more like rancid chicken noodle soup. Carl! For a moment, the weight of the water had me confined. I was being held by salt and insecurity. Then muscle memory and training took over. I launched over the ocean and bolted to Heather's side. I growled and Dave gave a warning nudge. He immediately let Heather go and I took a step back. Hey, big guy, I didn't mean no harm. Just a friendly hug. Still grumbling, I looked up at Heather. What did she want?
Okay, you got your hug. Now go, before I call the cops. Before I let Carl here teach you a lesson.
A smile fell off Dave's face. Clouds passed over the sun, and now the day didn't feel so bright at all. The pollution bellowing out of the refinery, dolphins gone. Ode of fear powering the slightly fishy smell of the sea.
Do you really think it'd be that easy, Heather? I'd just go away because you said so? I'm not some dog that does what you command. You're the bitch, not me.
He pulled out a gun off the back of his pants. I didn't wait for a command. I jumped right at Dave's throat. Training trumps fear. Breeding trumps fear. A German shepherd was born to protect. Now I'm going to die for protecting Heather. Turns out the gun wasn't loaded. As I sit here in this kill shelter, my owner's in her own cage. We're both guilty of murder. I listen to Heather pleading with the cops. Her lawyer, many tears, so much salt. Buying a specially trained protection dog, then sicking them on an adversary makes you guilty of using a dog as a dangerous weapon. Heather's charged with negligent homicide. Texas law. Even though I was protecting my owner, in this state, the penalty for killing a man is death. It's frightening in this cold cage. All visitors in this shelter condemned to a needle. Smells not like salt or honey. When I close my eyes, I see Surfside Beach. In my dreams, I take down Dave again and again. My teeth glinted as his body, heavy with seawater, lunges between him and Heather. I was up for the task. I'd had a lot of training. German shepherds are born to protect their owners. Now, I'm gonna die for it.
Now, let's have a chat with Kelly Pigeon. I found this interview very entertaining and informative. I hope you do too. So let's talk about how you got your start. Like, how did you even fall into this world of voicing?
I guess it started a long time ago. The voicing part, I was a disc jockey in Pittsburgh in the early 90s. Then I left and became an English teacher, private boys boarding school. I was the swimming coach and an English teacher, and I became the dean of students for a little while and realized how much I really wanted to do something else. Found a job at KDKA in Pittsburgh as a news anchor. And really what I wanted to do was what I'm doing now.
Oh, sounds good. So basically you were a radio DJ. Is that the correct term for that? You're a radio DJ. How did you even get an agent? Like, how did that even start? Like, how did you go from radio DJ to voice?
I went from radio DJ to teacher to news anchor. So when I was a news anchor, I really wanted to start doing some of the voiceover stuff and was talking to the other voice guy that we were using at the station at the time. And he's the one that sort of coached me through it. His name was Brian James. God rest his soul. He died. And I ended up kind of taking over the duties for that because I knew how to do it.
Right.
I mean, I just happened to try to learn and figure out my way how to do these things. And before that happened, it sort of landed on me. One of the things that I was told was, if you don't get an agent, you're not going to get any voiceover work. I mean, they're going to headhunt for you. And So I did.
What's the process of getting an agent?
Well, a lot of alcohol. what I did was I went out and found a voice coach that he had suggested to me. And from that point, the voice coach, he used to work at one of the biggest talent agencies in the States. And so he knew what to push and what, you know, and he was really just so good at being able to figure out the person he was coaching enough to know, like, he spoke to me totally in metaphor all the time. Oh yeah. I mean, he knew that that's the way I responded. Then he gave me all these different techniques to do and made me do reads cold and then worked me through them. And, you know, over the course of like 6 months, he said, well, you're ready now. I'll throw you out to a bunch of different agencies. And a couple of them picked me.
Interesting. So basically you paid him for voice training before he even started promoting you.
Right.
So your voice coach was your voice agent.
Well, he was like my sub agent, I guess. He was the agent that got me into the agency.
The agency that, okay. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So what are any hints? Like, what would you say, what sort of things should people practice at home? Or what are your hints for getting better at voice work?
That's a good question. Cause it's, you know, I think people have this idea that I can just start doing some voice work and it's real easy. And it's like, well, you know, it's not actually, it's not nearly as easy as one might think it is. And I'm not saying all my, you know, what I do is rocket science or anything, but you know, it does take work and it's actually physically demanding at times. You know, I'm sitting in this chair doing this, but one of the requirements I think is you have to learn how not to announce unless it's called for. Sometimes it's acting. I've had to try to figure out 5 different characters in my head. You know, I've got Evil Stan and I got my game show host guy that I've got Stoner Dude who does, hey man, you know, I've had to figure out characters in my head. And so I have this, it's not like I have an internal dialogue going on, but take a piece of copy and you want to sort of be a part of it. You know, I want to feel like I'm one of the people there. I'm in on it as opposed to some guy outside who's, you got to treat it like the attitude of whatever it is. And you sort of have to put your head in it.
Yes. So what do you do to take care of your voice, Kelly? I always like picture you like singing scales in the shower or something, or like, what is the care of a voice?
Well, I guess there are different things, you know, the biggest thing for me, booze. If I drink, I'm not worth a damn the next day. It screws with my vocal cords worse than anything. Allergies kill me. I'm allergic to everything.
No. Kelly the bubble boy?
Yeah. You know, like it's pollen season right now. Well, and you know, getting sick, there's no getting sick for me. You know, if I get sick, I'm done. And I've had to figure out ways of like expanding my throat really hard so that you can't hear if I get all nasally, but like right now I'm sort of a little gunky because it's hot as hell here and it's humid and the pollen is falling all over the place. So everybody here is like, my eyes have been watering and everything else. But I have to drink a ton. Coffee and tea, not good. Because they, especially tea, like I'm half British by descent. So I've got an affinity for tea and it just gives you dry mouth and dries your throat out. And
zero stomia. I hate that.
There's a distinct difference when somebody wakes up in the morning versus what they sound like an hour later. When I first crawl out of bed, I sound like Lucille Ball. You know, Lucy, you've got some splaining to do. So I got to be careful about that and sort of wake up and have something hot to drink and then drink a little water. And I am, just so you know, I am wearing pants. I'm going to throw that out there. Always ask, dude, do you go down there in your underwear? I'm like, well, I am wearing underwear, but I'm not like, you know, yeah, I've got
you
pants.
Still dress. Even though you're working from home, you still dress. That's good.
Is that one of the TMI?
TMI moments? Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Brought to you by.
This TMI moment brought to you by Tim Horton.
Exactly.
That's about the vocal care. You know, and I try to exercise and everything else. I don't, and I try to go outside a lot because sitting down in the studio all day long, I could go crazy down here by myself because I just sit down here and, you know, play with these. See my Geddy Lee jazz bass? See?
Kelly's holding up a guitar for people who can't see him. Yeah. He's also got a band, which, by the way, is amazing. And I will put a link to Kelly's band in the show notes and a link to the interview I did with Kelly. So you can learn more about his band as well.
It's called Boats Against the Current. Or wait a minute, I got to say it Canadian, right? Boats Against the Current. And which is the three-piece band. We play very Americana rock music, do a little bit of blues, but we go back and forth between Pittsburgh and Dallas all the time and play. So, but our stuff's on Spotify. So if you just type in Boats Against the Current, there's also a song called Boats Against the Current that was written by Eric Carmen. That's, don't confuse that.
My favorite song, what is that song you did? The Wicked Games You Play? Who sings that?
Oh, Wicked Game.
Oh my gosh. If you're going to listen to one of their songs, that one gave me chills and I loved it. So
that's actually a tune by Chris Isaak. That's not one that John wrote, but we did that. That's an interesting thing. We did that during COVID.
Oh.
We did. The three of us never saw each other when we did it. We each took iPhones and recorded our parts, and I had them then, like, John did his vocals and his bass guitar, and I did all the guitar work, and Ron did his drums, and I told them what I wanted them to shoot visually. I kept telling John, don't look at the camera when you sing. And then I edited all the video together and all the audio and created the whole thing. Just, I wanted to see if I could, because I saw all these other bands doing this, you know, like it was the Doobie Brothers. I saw do this freaking unbelievable version of Listen to the Music, and they were all in different places when they did it, which kind of is the way it's happening now anyway, but I wanted to see if I could do it. And
that was great. It was my favorite. I listened to a bunch of your music when writing the article, and that one I was like, could listen to over and over again, and I did. So good job.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Chris Isaak will be happy. So
that's right. That's right. well, thank you for our chat today. This was, I loved it, and hopefully our listeners did too. And hopefully we'll get you back to read another story or two.
Well, I can't wait to hear the story.
Yeah, you did a really good job with that, by the way. My God, I loved your voice. Like, I loved your voice for the now that people for the story for the dog. Like, you did that so well.
Thank you. I mean, I figured you set the whole thing in Texas, so I thought, you know, it would add to the, you know, flipping the whole thing on its head if I did this thing talking like a guy from Texas, you know, just sort of threw on my Matthew McConaughey sound, you know, whistling the S's. And I figured it would, you know, why not make it sound like a guy as opposed to a dog? You know, we don't want to sound like a dog. I just was hoping it would add to the irony of the whole thing at the end, or the twist, I guess.
Whatever I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I personally was so thrilled with it. I loved it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to do it. It was fun.
Thank you for listening and hanging in till the very end. If you want to learn more about Kelly Pigeon, there are some links in the show notes. You can also visit my website at www.fawns.ca and sign up for the newsletter. There will be a whole whack of Kelly info in the next mailing. Also, remember to look for his band, Boats Against the Current, on Spotify or iTunes. Sleep with your lights on until the next episode of Read Me a Nightmare.